And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning right before the holiday weekend. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing?
We're doing all right. Looking forward to the holiday and trying to see you. There you go.
There you go. Now your morning is already so much better.
I love when I do things that are visual, and then I'm like, what does that sound like on the radio? Probably pretty stupid.
It's okay.
But
we now have streaming
good,
to go with it on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch.
That's right. If you're watching, I just moved the microphone to the right spot and did not spill liquid all over my laptop like some people do.
Yeah, that's only happened one time.
By the way, the keyboard still doesn't work at all. It doesn't respond to anything.
Oh, that's good.
I don't want you to feel bad or anything.
Well, I do now, heading into this holiday weekend, so sorry about that.
That's all right.
Elijah, what's going on? How are we doing?
Pretty good. Nice and dry back here. Haven't spilled anything on any valuable equipment here, so we're doing pretty good so far.
That is good.
It's early.
Nice night for Brook Lopez last night. Playoff legend Brook Lopez for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Hey, that's Nets all-time leading scorer Brook Lopez to you.
It is. You're right.
How by about 4 points.
33 last night for Brook Lopez, and the Milwaukee Bucks, without Giannis, they get it done. 123-112 against the Atlanta Hawks last night. Obviously, Atlanta did not play Trae Young last night either, so... And now my audio is going off. Usually that's a Joe Retro thing.
I was looking at my computer. I'm like, oh, no, here we go again.
But anyway, big win for Milwaukee last night. So this run that I had of calling games correctly this week, that ended yesterday, Joe Retro.
14 for 18 for Brook Lopez.
Not bad.
You know what? Brook Lopez, he frustrates me sometimes because he just wants to launch, you know, threes all day.
They don't call him Splash Mountain for nothing.
But, that's right.
That's good. But, yeah, when he plays with efficiency, hitting those two-point shots, get 26 from Middleton, man, they looked like they were okay without Giannis.
What does that mean?
I mean, there are times when there's probably not, like, the worst thing, right, in terms of offensive flow.
Yeah, when Giannis isn't just pounding the air out of the ball and dribbling into a 7-foot center and then looking frantically to pass the ball out with 5 seconds of the shot clock. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
You two are ready to run him out of town.
I like Giannis a lot, and he's a tremendous all-around. I mean, he does some things that just, you know, are special. But, yes, at times, offensive efficiency is not like – he's not the conduit for that, you know?
It's probably fair.
Get him in transition and just get out of the way and, you know.
How about the, you know, Bobby Portis last night, 22. Drew Holiday had 25 and 13 last night. Brook Lopez. Like, if they all played that well with Giannis in the lineup, they'd have scored 170 points last night.
They'd win. They're winning it.
Yeah.
They're winning it. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
It's going to be Bucks Suns. It's going to be Bucks Suns. And I'm here for it. I'm excited about it.
One win away now from the NBA Finals for the Milwaukee Bucks. They would take on the Phoenix Suns at that point. I don't know. We talked about this yesterday. Who's the favorite in that series? Is it Phoenix? Is it Milwaukee? I think it's pretty close. I might give the slight edge to the Bucks. I don't know. The Phoenix playing pretty well right now.
I don't know.
I think if it's Atlanta, it's pretty clear who the favorite is.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like the Suns... I would favor the Suns, but Vegas might favor the Bucks. I don't know. What do you think?
Ooh, it's going to depend on Giannis's health, too.
Well, that's true,
like
obviously.
How close to ready is he? But if Giannis is healthy and say they like they blow out Atlanta in Game 6, then it'd be hard not to say the Bucks, just because they are a little bit deeper, I would say.
Yeah, but I'm assuming Giannis. Yeah, obviously, if he's not back, then it's certainly the Suns are the favorite. But,
you know, Bobby Portis dropping 22, you're going to be the favorite. That's just how that works.
That's true. You are, you're feeling good about things. 8 rebounds, too.
You know, I predicted a big night last night from my guy, Kevin Herter, and that didn't quite happen. 8 points, 3 of 12 from the field.
That's
a tough one last night.
2 of 7 from 3. He did have 7 assists.
Yes, he did.
He did some good things out there. I mean, they're just so different. They're so different without Trey. They're really limited. I mean, Capella played, but, you know. It's just a very different team. They don't have much chance. But I think he'll probably be back. I think there's a better chance he's back next game than Giannis has, I would guess, just based on the injuries. So, you know, the idea that this might go another game certainly is not a crazy thought at all. This could certainly get to seven.
It could, and one of those things now where here we are potentially one game away from the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final already two games down, going for game three tonight in Montreal. Getting close to the sporting calendar being a little bit limited at this point. College World Series is over as well. By the time you get back from vacation, which you're going to be on next week, it could be pretty bleak out there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Usually the College World Series is like the last thing.
Yeah.
Like usually the College World Series is right after what? I mean, it's right around the time of the draft. I guess sometimes the finals would maybe touch it at the very beginning of it, right? But basically, it's like the last thing, and then it's like, okay, you got baseball. You know, you got baseball, you got MLS. Regular season stuff, and you got everybody, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen in training camp and, you know, just counting the hours until that starts. So at least this gets you into, you know, we're getting into July with stuff, but I think next year we're going to be back on that regular calendar, right? I've kind of liked like some stuff that really matters in July and August.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We'll take complete normalcy.
Well, there was a talk for a while of the NBA maybe pushing their schedule back and starting a little bit later.
But apparently that was just talk.
Apparently that was just talk because they're going back to late October, early November.
And there's NHL at this point?
NHL, they're getting back to normal.
They're getting back to normal too. Like, so mid?
Probably mid-October.
Yeah, mid-October, yeah. It's fine. I mean, I think there's a case to be made to wait and start later, but the bottom line is you're not going to reduce your inventory.
No.
So if you're not going to do that, then you probably need to stay on roughly the same timeline, unless you really want to condense a season, and nobody really wants that either.
Yeah, like I think both the NBA and the NHL could probably benefit from starting a little bit later, just because of, you know, college football, the NFL. Unless you're a diehard NBA fan or a diehard NHL fan, like how much attention is the casual sports fan paying in, you know, the first week of November to the NBA and the NHL? Probably not much.
And then the flip side is now what we're seeing, you get stuff into July.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
I wouldn't.
Why
think
is
so.
That bad?
I wouldn't think so. Now, I understand it a little bit more from the NHL point of view because, you know, trying to keep ice cold when it's 112 outside can be challenging.
It's a good point. Well, honestly, what to me, the NHL should want to be separated more from the NBA.
Agreed.
However that happens, like if your Stanley Cup final is either early in the NBA playoffs or after the NBA finals are over and you have the states yourself, to me, that's beneficial to you. You don't want to be competing with the late stages of the, right? How do you make that happen? Well, it's probably you're not going to move it up, so you're going to have to move it back. But hey, I mean, they also don't want to go to the Olympics, so I mean,
well, there's that. There's that too. Maybe not the best decisions being made over there, but I really thought the NBA, like, there was some serious momentum to move it back. Like, I heard there's a lot of talk about, hey, let's start the NBA season around Christmas and just go from there. Which, I mean, it kind of makes a lot of sense to do that. But it doesn't look like, at least for the moment, that's what's going to happen.
I mean, you'd basically take the NBA Finals then if you had you've got to space it out the same. So you would basically take it to like preseason football, right?
Yeah.
And then again, from the NHL's perspective, now their stuff, if they say on the same clock, is like the beginning of the NBA playoffs. Great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, and most of their playoffs are just the, you know, the end of the regular season. I mean, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for the sports fan to have big separation there and to not have what we usually have, which is, I mean, I understand that there's also a benefit, I guess, to downtime. But, I mean, to me, that's just a big void in the sports calendar that would be great for fans if it were filled better.
Yeah, absolutely. But, hey, to your point, this year, I mean, usually, there's never nothing going on. You've got Major League Baseball. You've got Major League Soccer. So, you can get your sports fix if you want to.
You got tennis going on behind you right now.
Yeah, Wimbledon.
Got some good tennis.
I'm a big fan of Wimbledon. I don't know how many people are a big fan of Wimbledon, but I am.
I watched Federer yesterday. That was really fun to watch.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So I love Wimbledon, but I mean, there's always something to watch sports wise, but usually, I mean, you can make an argument that the best sporting month of the year is October. Now, I would probably make the argument that it's April just because I love it, but at least in October, there's actual football going on, right? So you can make the, I mean, with football, hockey starting, NBA starting, baseball in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Pretty good month.
That's I would say probably the best month. I'm also, you know, I'm very partial to March myself.
Sure.
But, yeah, you know, that.
Rexro doesn't leave his house in March.
I mean, November, too, because November, then you get into, like, the college basketball, like, holiday tournament.
Rex Road and Elijah sitting together on the couch watching the Atlantic Sun tournament.
It's a good tournament, man.
That sure is.
Hey, one of the few that still plays it on home courts.
That's right.
It's got a charm.
Man, Lipscomb had the A-Sun one. Oh, man.
That was a heck of a
brutal.
Yeah. Y'all thought I was joking. Yeah. I'm not.
No.
Rex Road and Elijah watching the A-Sun tournament. Good
no,
for y'all.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, in the month of March, I'm basically locked in my room. My room becomes a cave for a while, and it's the real deal.
Being covering some team out there, but like I kind of liked, like, you know what? Just you can cover the Vols from your couch and then just watch all the other stuff.
That's
I'm
right.
Like, I kind of like this. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that going back too, I guess. By the way, the Vols got a big commit, another one, Rick Barnes.
Yeah.
Point guard out of out of Knoxville. Yeah, Knoxville Catholic, and his name's eluding me right now, Elijah.
Eluding me too, but
well,
it's a big one.
He's essentially a very hotly pursued point guard, and he's essentially going to be successor to Kennedy Chandler if Kennedy Chandler is
one and done,
as you know, it's not a guarantee at all, but a lot of people who know basketball think that he will be.
B.J. Edwards?
Thank you. B.J. Edwards. So he's on a roll. That's the first recruit for 22, but the train keeps rolling there.
Speaking of the train rolling, the Predators offseason got rolling in a pretty big way yesterday with a trade of Victor Arvidsson to the L.A. Kings. We'll get to the reaction of that coming up next. What does that mean for the Predators, and what does it mean for the rest of this offseason? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. That was Nashville Predators general manager David Poile on yesterday with Darren Donica Chase discussing the trade of Victor Arvidsson to the Los Angeles Kings. The Predators receive a second-round pick in 2021, a third-round pick in 2022, and Victor Arvidsson heading to the LA Kings. Joe, I knew something was going to happen this offseason. I think if memory serves me correctly, both you and I called the shot that Victor Arvidsson was going to be traded this offseason. So, virtual high five to you.
Yeah.
Your initial reaction to the trade, the return for the Predators, getting two draft picks, one in the second round, one in the third round. Are you surprised that it happened before the expansion draft? Just everything, the complete picture with this trade from Victor Arvidsson going to L.A. What was your initial reaction when you saw the news?
Well, you know, initial reaction on any of this is for this particular guy being traded, not surprised. One, we've talked about it. I mean, we've been not only those called shots, but I mean, we've discussed the possibility and how he kind of made – he was the easiest one to move, I think, right? Because the contract, because in their lineup, they do have answers there, potential answers, and we'll see. I mean, Poile brought up one, Tolvanen, and he brought up Tomasino again, like real, you know, in the interview with Darren Donick and Chase. So it makes sense, I think, in terms of their team, the way he's been playing, the way he's been trending, but you can still find someone out there who can say, you know what, I think that guy can get healthy and still be a really good top six forward and still has, he's still young, still has plenty to give. So there was a lot of factors that, to me, made him the most likely core piece to be moved. And then my next reaction is, okay, what's the return? As we find out yesterday, it's in the works. And honestly, I think it's a pretty good return for the Preds. I think we talked not long ago about maybe just a third or just a second. You get a second and a third, and of course, you know, the third is next year when you have a little bit more normal scouting situation. So, you know, you get the second is this year when you have some limitations that are going to be tied to that choice. But to get both of those, I think it's a good move for the Preds. You got to get some futures. You got to replenish that draft capital. And I think the expansion draft part of it is big because – and Vingan and I were talking about this yesterday on the phone. Just, you know, he was going through the Kings situation. I mean, they're not worried about more than three defensemen probably.
Right.
And they got plenty of forwards that they don't mind letting, you know, leaving unprotected. So, like, from their perspective, it's like it's easy. Like, yeah, they'll protect
him. He's going to be protected.
Yeah, they'll protect him, and it's not like it's like, oh, no, and now we can't protect this guy. The Preds are in a much different situation with that. So, I mean, another thing about that, of course, with Poile and the interview with Darren Donick and Chase, I mean, he all but said, like, if we would have – I mean, he basically said it. Like, if we would have, based on conversations, if we would have let him be unprotected, that's who they would have taken. We talked about that, too. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That would be an easy choice to me.
Yeah.
So, look, I think it's the right move, and good for them, you know, finding a trade partner who also, by the way, should have pretty decently high picks for you because they stink.
Yeah, they're not very good, and you know this second round pick probably going to be. I mean, it's a pretty high second round pick. The third round pick probably also going to be a pretty high third round pick in a draft. Most people would agree next year is a little bit deeper. And as you said, a little bit more normal of a scouting process that goes along with it. Look, I'm not surprised that this has happened. I was kind of interested yesterday at the reaction from the fan base a little bit. There was, I think, a lot of surprise that Victor Arvidsson was traded. And I just don't really understand that. I mean, I get loving the player, and he's a fan favorite, and you're sorry to see him go. I totally understand all that. We've seen this happen here before. I mean, when Shea Weber got traded, yeah, you were excited to have P.K. Subban coming in, but there are people to this day that are still just gutted by Shea Weber being out of here. So I understand, you know, the emotional attachment that Victor Arvidsson has, and I don't want to downplay that, but like if you didn't see something like this coming, I don't really know how much attention you've been paying. Like this core was not going to remain the same. I mean, it's – you've gotten to the point with this core where that just can't happen anymore. So I was not surprised by the move. I'll tell you one thing that did kind of stand out to me, and we've got a lot to get to on this today, and we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One thing that stood out to me from David Poile's interview with Darren Donick and Chase was it kind of sounded like at their end-of-season meeting that both Victor Arvidsson and the Predators were like, yeah, you know, fresh start. It may benefit both sides. Like, I came away, and the guys on Darren Donick and Chase talked about this yesterday. I came away from that conversation with Poile yesterday of Victor Arvidsson. I don't know that he requested a trade. I think he certainly was probably okay with the trade for a fresh start. And that was a little interesting to me.
That is interesting. So, when you go back to the end of the playoff series, And you remind me how it all went. I think I asked Hines, or somebody asked Hines. I don't know. Like,
you.
Yeah. Like, was he a scratch? And they said he was hurt, but I mean, is it possible that, you know, he could have gone? It would have been a little bit limited, a little bit banged up. And if so, and the fact that he wasn't in the lineup, did that upset him? Did he feel like, or take that away, forget that specific aspect of it. Just did he feel like he didn't really fit into what John Hines wanted to do? I will say that I think, and not even just Hines, I think with Poile, I think that there's probably a little bit of, you know what, physicality, especially in the postseason, seems to work. Maybe you want speed and physicality, right?
Yeah.
But maybe he felt a little bit devalued here. And honestly, he should have, because his value has gone down. I mean, his production has gone down. I think it kind of does make sense for both sides. It is interesting that would be part of a, like, an exit interview. Because you remember Poile, at the end of the year was asked, of course, about Arvidsson, and he was like, hey, this is basically, you know, this is exactly the type of guy who everybody says stuff, and then he bounces back and has a big year, you know? So it didn't sound like David Poile. Now, of course, that could also be David Poile saying that to other GMs. Hey, other GMs, yeah, he's going to bounce back and have a big year. I mean, you could certainly, but still, I mean, it didn't sound like a guy who was all eager to move on from him.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of see how that played out. But, I mean, that was kind of my main takeaway. Number one, you're right. David Poile all but said that had they left Victor Arvidsson unprotected, that's who Seattle's going to take. So you know that. You'd lose him for nothing at that point. You're at least able to get something out of this. There are people that are disappointed with the return. That, you know, and I saw this from a national perspective, too. So a couple of media guys that I follow in Canada were like, that's all the Predators got for Victor Arvidsson? My first response was, well, have you watched Victor Arvidsson the last couple of years? It's not been great. Not been great out there.
If he was coming off a 34-goal season, then let's have a different conversation.
Well, and, you know, the other part of this is just the state of the league right now, right? I mean, it's a flat cap for the foreseeable future. And David Poile said this yesterday, too. Like, he could have traded Victor Arvidsson to other teams. But what other teams wanted to send back was another player and more salary. And part of the reason you've traded Victor Arvidsson is now you've freed up the $4.25 million that comes along with it for the next 3 years. Now, that's not a huge amount of money, but that's enough to go out and sign somebody if you wanted to.
Like Mikhail Granlund,
like
for example.
Mikhail Granlund. Like that helps you from that standpoint tremendously. So I think your chances of signing Mikhail Granlund just went sky high yesterday with Victor Arvidsson out here. So, look, I don't think you could sit here today and say that the Predators are a better team without Victor Arvidsson, even if that means Mikhail Granlund is coming back. Like, there's still some work that's going to have to be done. And Elliot Friedman was on with Darren Donica Chase yesterday and said, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first step to, like, a 3 or 4 step process here. So I don't think by any means the Predators are done this offseason. But interesting trade yesterday. I'm interested that it came before the expansion draft. But to your point, with L.A. and the situation they're in, they're not worried about the expansion draft right now. Victor Arvidsson will be protected. And, look, good for him. Victor Arvidsson was great to deal with here. He didn't have a ton to say in the media, and that's fine. But he was a nice guy, obviously a very popular player here. And you saw some reaction yesterday from Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. Obviously, they are upset to see him go. And we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up next, or coming up a little bit later in the show. But if you didn't see something like this coming, if you're a player, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah.
Like, Philip Forsberg had the thumbs down emoji on Instagram yesterday that he put on his Instagram story. And again, I get it. He's one of your close friends. I understand being upset by all this. But if y'all didn't see like something like this coming, I don't know what you've been watching. I don't know what you're paying attention to.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, you had to know at some point it just can't. It has to get broken up, and he made the most sense. I almost feel like the reaction is like Pred's Twitter has been screaming for some kind of move like this, and I feel like Pred's Facebook is like, what?
Arvidsson?
That came out of left field.
Well, everybody thinks they should just trade Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, and yeah, that sounds great. It can't happen. This was a tradable contract that you have.
Well, listen, if this is what you wanted to do, this is a step toward making that more possible. You now have taken him away as a possibility for the Kraken. And, you know, I tell you what. Also based on David Poile and his interview with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, I feel like there's been a lot of Duchene. Johansson, what do you say? What'll it take? A lot of that, probably a lot more of that to come. But this is a step toward that. Doesn't mean it'll happen.
We'll continue the conversation on the Victor Arvidsson trade when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Victor Arvidsson trade to the Los Angeles Kings. Who got the better end of this deal? I think a lot of that's going to depend on what version of Victor Arvidsson is showing up in L.A. He's 28 years old. still theoretically should be in the prime of his career, but we know what's happened with Victor Arvidsson the last couple of years. The production has not been the same. The chances have not been the same. And he was, you know, during his heyday here in Nashville, such a threat on the rush, such a threat coming down, breaking in off the wing. You know, 31 goals in 16-17, 29 the following year, and 34 in 58 games in the year where he was just awesome, and his shooting percentage was at 17.4%. He was amazing that year for the Predators when he was healthy. It's not been the same since then. 15 goals in 19-20, and then 10 goals last year in 50 games in the 2021 season. Look, I'm not saying that Victor Arvidsson can't bounce back. I think from a work ethic standpoint, he brings everything to the table that you want. Obviously, from an effort standpoint, we know that. That's how he came to be one of the fan favorites here in Nashville. So, zero part of me questions Victor Arvidsson's work ethic, his desire, his motivation, anything like that. I just wonder if he's got it left in the tank anymore. With all the injuries that he's sustained, with 2 years now of evidence of him just not looking like the same player, is he just going to magically snap out of it when he comes to L.A.? Maybe. I don't know. We've seen that happen before. But my guess would be Arvidsson probably not ever going to get back to 34 goals again in a season. Now, the other part of that is, with the contract that he has at $4.25 million, didn't have to justify that contract. If he's a 20-goal guy, $4.25 million is a pretty good price for a 20-goal guy. And we'll see if he can get to that. Certainly going to get some top six opportunities in L.A. with that roster and the young guys that they've got coming up through the mix.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a good contract. In the larger context of, you know, a lot of deals that have gone bad, is Jared on vacation right now?
I thought so, yeah.
Jared Stone, he's on vacation. He's hate texting me at 6:30 in the morning.
Go to bed, dude.
Or stay in bed, or like go on the beach. Where is he? Where is Jared on vacation?
I think he's somewhere in Florida.
God. I mean, here he is. He's blowing me up because Jared's the only one in the whole market who's tough on David Poile.
Okay.
Jared's the only one who ever has mentioned that David Poile has made some bad deals. Thank you, Jared. I'm so glad that we have one person in the whole market who ever mentions that David Poile has made some bad deals.
Okay.
That's sarcasm. Enjoy your vacation. Leave me alone. What's he saying now? I mean, okay, all right. Whatever. I'm not. Jared reads when I text him angrily, which does happen too. So I can't claim moral superiority. He usually reads them on the air, but Jared just thinks that we're being too soft on Poile. So let that be known. David Poile has made a lot of deals that have gone badly, and that's kind of where the franchise is. Isn't that have we not discussed this a million times
at length?
Yeah. Is it okay to say that this particular return at this particular moment is good? I think it is. I think relative to the expectations of the market for Arvidsson, I think it's a good deal. Now, look, what if Arvidsson goes to L.A. and it's a career revival? And he, you know, what if Kevin Fiala keeps...
Based on recent evidence, I kind of expect Victor Arvidsson to go to L.A. and it'd be a career revival, because that's what happens when the Predators trade people away now, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, like Kevin, and you know, that's the thing is there's always that possibility. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Arvidsson get healthy,
sure,
and help that franchise turn things around. But yes, then of course, Preds fans will look at that and say, "Well, you shouldn't have done this or that." Seth Jones, you know, again, that'll always be a good trade. But as he has become a great player, that happens. That's part of the deal. The tough ones are, you know, like the Turris situation,
yeah.
The Hartman first-round pick. I mean, those are the killers. You know, the Duchesne at this point with the massive deal that so far has not come close. These are the problems. You're in a spot. You're in a bind. You're still the GM.
Well,
this particular move, to me, was unnecessary. You had to make a move like this, and it's not the only one. But I think the return is pretty good.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind here, the trade deadline, the trade market, it's not linear. It moves. I mean, there are factors involved too. So, look, 1 year the Predators gave up a first round pick for Paul Gostad. All right, Paul Gostad.
That's not good.
He's a fourth liner. He's very good at faceoffs. He was very good at faceoffs. But like, there's There's no world normally where you give up a first round pick for a guy like Paul Gostad. But that's what the deadline was that year. Like, you had to go. Sometimes it's a seller's market, sometimes it's a buyer's market. Right now, it's hard to make trades. It's hard to make moves because every team is up against it cap-wise. I mean, David Poile talked about that yesterday. He could have traded Victor Arvidsson elsewhere and probably gotten a better return back in terms of getting a roster player to come help you now. The problem is you're also taking on more money at that point. So it's a different market right now for the trades than it would be if the cap was going up this year. Like, if the cap's going up like it was normally supposed to this year before COVID, you can probably trade Victor Arvidsson for another roster player and not feel that bad about it because the cap's going up. But with the cap remaining flat, and not only remaining flat this year, but probably flat for the next 3 years at least, you have to start thinking about that because you still have Granlund. You still have Ekholm. You still have Forsberg that you've got to re-sign. So, yeah, I saw Predators fans yesterday saying, well, they've got now they got $22.5 million worth of cap space. They got a lot of money to play with. They really don't. I mean, they've got a lot of things they're going to have to figure out. Oh, by the way, including the goalie as well.
Right. The goalie, Granlund, extensions. Yeah. I mean, it helps a little bit. I'd love to know some names of some of the potential players who would have been potentially coming back. But also, I mean, I got this question from quite a few people yesterday, actually, which was, okay, so does this signify that this is an all-out rebuild? And my answer is no, but it's at least, what does Vingan call it? The soft
reset.
The soft reset. I mean, I think that's at least what you have to do, including especially cap consideration here, getting some draft capital, getting some futures, while hoping that, basically, you're hoping that some young guys are ready. You're hoping Eli Tolvanen, last year was just the beginning for him, and then he's going to take another step and be locked in as a top six forward who can do everything well enough so that that ridiculous shot can be put to use. And then you're, again, I mean, I don't know if John Hines like feels the same way David Poile feels, but I sure feel strongly at saying that Poile thinks Tomasino is making this team and making a difference on this team. I still think that could be early to expect that, but we'll see. But, I mean, this is another – so the soft reset, and then you hope you're competitive. If you're going to be competitive right away without knowing the other moves to come, some of that is really tied to these young guys.
I mean, it is. Look, I was talking to quite a few people yesterday about this trade, this deal. I still think right now with this roster and look, there's still the expansion draft to come. More trades can be made. Free agency, look, maybe they're a little bit more of a player right now in free agency, freeing up some money. I don't know. But right now, I'm not sure this is a playoff team. So you've got to – there's some work to do if you want to get back to the playoffs. I mean, it was a great story at the end last year. Let's not forget, it took a 27-1 run to get in the playoffs and it took your goaltender – basically stopping 95% of the shots. That's something to keep in mind coming down the stretch.
And you did most of that damage against the dregs of your division, which was admittedly a loaded division at the top. So
yes,
that made it tough too. So some of your record going into that was the fact that you were playing, you had to play against three really good teams. But still, it's not like this division next year is going to be a cakewalk. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that could be better than them in that division.
So what does this trade of Victor Arvidsson signal about what the Predators could try to do with the expansion draft? I've got a couple different theories that I want to throw out there. We'll get your reaction coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Preds General Manager David Poile on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday in the aftermath of the Victor Arvidsson trade. And how maybe the expansion draft influenced that as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Periscope, as well as the Game Nashville app. Joe, a couple different things stand out to me from those comments. And one of them, actually, I just kind of picked up on. And that was David Poile talking about the different options in the expansion draft. And he said you can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, or you could go 4-4. In terms of forwards and defensemen, which are both true. You can do that. You can also go 5 defensemen and 3 forwards, and he did not bring that up. I wonder Is that something maybe the Predators aren't considering, going five defensemen? Because, I think it's pretty clear-cut. I look at this roster right now. I'm protecting the five defensemen with Carrier, Fabro, Ellis, Ekholm, and Josi. And then I'm protecting Forsberg. I'm protecting Luke Cunnan. And now with Arvidsson out of the mix, you've got to make a tough decision between Yarncroke and Sissons. And other than that, like, who else are you losing that you're afraid of? Like, Tolvanen is not going to be exposed. Tomasino is not going to be exposed. Granlund's not going to be signed probably by that point. He'll be a free agent, so you're not going to lose him. And then you can sign him after Trennan. The expansion draft. I mean, maybe, but like, if you're asking me if I'd rather lose Yakov Trennan or Alex Carrier, sorry, Trennan, but that's not really even a decision for me.
Is he hoping that people haven't noticed what Alex Carrier did this year?
I don't know.
Right? It's got to be him. I mean, he'd be the. Then there's no way it's Fabro, right? There's no way, right? I mean, I would really not think so.
I wouldn't think so either, but I don't know.
Because that's an easy one. That's a layup for the Kraken, right?
You would think. I don't know. Like, right now, that's what I would do. I would protect five defensemen. The New York Islanders did it. They were the only team to do it last time with the Vegas expansion draft. I'd go five defensemen. I'd protect three forwards. And that means one of Sissons or Yarncroke is going to be exposed. Sissons has more term left, so it's probably going to be Yarncroke that's exposed. And you're probably going to lose Yarncroke. Like, that's probably the route it goes right now.
Well, unless
if you go that route.
Unless you make a deal that you need to try to make. But, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If you can't strike that deal, then they
And you're talking about one of Johansson and Duchesne.
Right. If you can't make that deal, then the expansion draft is really not helping you much.
Agreed.
But I guess that's expansion drafts aren't designed to help the other teams.
Well, they're not. And look, Elliot Friedman was on with Darren Donica Chase in the aftermath of this interview with Poyle yesterday and talked about just from the vibe he gets from Seattle, they're not really looking to take on a whole lot of salary. Like, they're just not. I mean, you've got to take 60% and you've got to get to that part of the cap floor. So you've got to take 60% of the cap. Elliot doesn't seem to think that they're going to give much consideration to taking either Duchesne or Johansson. And I don't either. Like, I think there are going to be other options out there for them to get to their required cap that they need to get to. I did kind of have this thought yesterday, though, and that is you just got another second rounder and third rounder to add to the mix.
Right.
Could both of those be used maybe to sweeten the pot to Seattle to take a Johansson or a Duchesne?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you have more ammo now to try to do that without depleting yourself. You can still be in a decent position with draft picks and try to make this deal. But, again, they've got to be – like, for them to take on either guy, you know, they've got to be excited about either guy. It still comes down to, like, did they like the idea of that player on their team?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean
– I would – you know, if I were them, I'd be looking at Johansson and liking the potential. I'd be worried about Duchesne and where the trend is.
I agree. Now, Elliot Friedman threw out something else pretty interesting yesterday, too, and that was Seattle got a lot of interest in Duncan Keith from Chicago, which I don't understand. He's 38 years old. He's a Hall of Fame defenseman, so I get it from that standpoint.
So it's just like a name? That's a name pickup?
But he's 38. Yeah. Quite frankly, like, he's not been very good the last few years. Because, you know, he's played a lot of hockey. He's 38 years old. His defense corps around him has sucked, so I get that. Chicago's defense has been awful. But I don't know what a 38-year-old Duncan Keith with a couple years left on his deal does for you if you're Seattle. Other than Duncan Keith. He's been a great player. He's a Hall of Fame defenseman. Obviously, you like the leadership there as well. But, like, on the ice, I don't really know what that does for you.
Yeah, that's like attract the fans move. You know, which is the funny thing is that's what you think of usually in sports in my lifetime, expansion teams. It's like, okay, well, they're going to be awful. So get, like, a veteran, you know, the Charlotte Hornets. Get Kurt Rambis out there. And, yeah, he won some titles with the Lakers. And, all right, look at those goggles. Like, you know, that's what you think of. But now it's like, hey, Kraken, you guys are going to make a deep run for in the first year like the Golden Knights did, right? So, you know, the rules here make it so that you could actually put together a pretty good team. Now, that will never happen again, I'm confident in saying. Like, this, the way it broke for them. I'll call that shot right now.
So you're saying Seattle's, they're not going to the Cup final?
Yeah, I know. Call me crazy.
That's bold.
But, hey, mate, with Duncan Keith, Matt Duchene, who knows?
I will say, the division they're about to enter into, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
it's not very good.
There is some opportunity there.
LA's not good. Anaheim's not good. Who knows with Edmonton, man? I mean, they should be good enough to make the playoffs, hopefully. Connor McDavid.
Well, with Vezina,
yeah, Vezina
contender
nominee,
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith, yeah.
You know, how could they not?
But who knows about Calgary? Vancouver was awful last year. Like, it's not a very good division.
That's a good point.
Maybe it's Vegas and Seattle right at the top.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. But, I mean, it's wild how that – all the things that had to happen, and then how that kind of changes the outlook here, you know. It's kind of tough for Seattle because, yeah, realistically, they're going to look like an expansion team.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Predators now. I still think the five-defenseman route makes sense. But, I mean, David Poile did say 7-3 or 4-4. So, if it's 4-4, like, you're leaving, I would assume, Carrier exposed at that point. And you're protecting the four forwards would be Forsberg, Cunning, Yarncroak, Sissons?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, there's no way they're protecting one of Johansson or Duchene. Right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, no. Again, not only do you not protect them, like, you're trying to see what you can do about getting one of them taken. So, I don't.
All right. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think there's any way Matt Duchene's getting protected. Are they going to protect Ryan Johansson?
Yeah, maybe. I guess. I guess. I mean, the fact that he even mentioned 7-3, I mean, that can't be on the table anyway, right?
No.
So maybe he was just maybe you're reading too much in the comment.
I could be.
Might be.
That's what I do this time of year. Expansion draft's only a few days away. The more I've thought about it, the five defenseman route makes the most sense. And I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front. One thing that you touched on that I think is absolutely true, I think David Poile feels like Philip Tomasino's ready. And he feels like he's going to be given every opportunity to make the team next year. With Arvidsson gone, there's now a role in the top six that is available. And is that going to go to Tolvanen? Is it going to go to Tomasino? I don't know. We'll find out what happens and exactly where Tomasino starts. My guess would be it's probably not going to be in the top six, probably on third line somewhere, and probably at the wing. But we'll see what happens on that front. But I think David Poile has made some pretty strong comments the last couple of times that he's talked about Tomasino of, I think they feel like that kid's ready. At least he does. So we'll see what happens in training camp.
So I'll do my disclaimer. This is a disclaimer here. David Poile's had a lot of bad moves since Shea Weber. The team trajectory is tied to that. David Poile's job should be heavily scrutinized right now. There's your little disclaimer. Jared, run along. Go on the beach. Leave us alone.
Okay.
All right. Do we have to do this every hour? Should we record that as a PSA? And we can just keep running it so Jared doesn't think he's the only person who ever says anything critical about anyone?
Is Shea Weber really where that trajectory started?
Well, I'm saying since Shea Weber, it's been way more bad than good.
Okay.
Since that move, which was good, it's been way more bad than good. Right? I mean, I think that's obvious. That's obvious, and it's been discussed from every angle 10 million times.
I don't know.
Disagree with any of that?
No.
All right. Jared, you're on vacation. Be on vacation.
Thank you. When we come back, it was a wild day yesterday with the first full day of the name, image, and likeness laws going into effect. We'll recap the best of what we saw yesterday and also get to what this could mean for the future of college athletics in terms of the money that's going to be flowing in and out of these players' pockets. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.